Looking to go out in the town in the city of Boston for an affordable price and grab some great food, drinks, and atmosphere in the Seaport District? Well, look no further than newcomer Seaport Social. Seaport Social is a premier and authentic social house that is poised to proudly serve the Boston area for many years to come. Their mission is to provide high-quality food and unique craft beer selection, along with a welcoming atmosphere for all those that wish to witness firsthand what the Boston social spirit is all about. From a top-notch bar, great group seating, to their premier menu, including their massive loaded nachos, endless craft beers on tap, and an exquisite espresso martini option, look for manager Jimmy, who will satisfy your needs. A project that has been 4 years in the making is finally here, Seaport Social, which is located at 225 Northern Avenue in the Seaport District in Boston, will officially open its doors for their grand opening December 1st. Get there while you can and tell them Steel and Az sent you. Eat, drink, social. That's what the Seaport Social does. What's up, Steel and Nazers? We got a special episode this week. Naz is out of the house, so Magic's taking over the intro.
Lead it. Yeah. Look out. We got fight week.
The prisoners have taken over the asylum. It's getting crazy in here.
And it is fight week. It is Rough and Rowdy once again, our favorite time of the year. Anytime Rough and Rowdy's around is a big time for us.
Bobby Lang looking to go 10-0 in his amateur professional boxing career.
Double digits, baby.
It's the big one.
Over the cusp. Who's he fighting again? Doesn't matter. You put a fucking brick wall in front of that guy, Bobby's beating him.
He's fighting some bum. Make it happen. He ain't going to make it happen. That's
yeah.
a fact.
Yeah.
And we have Scary Barry on the fucking show today. He's a Rough and Rowdy four-time Rough and Rowdy guy. Couple wins, couple losses. He fought at Kings of Combat. He's a friend of the program. Loves us.
Not a friend. I got to recorrect you. Scary Barry might be our most active listener from the podcast.
He's basically in the crew.
Yeah, he really is.
Stud.
Scary Barry goes hard for what he loves. He's big with all the Rough and Rowdy greats. He's in there like swimwear every time. He's the guy who throws the after parties. He fights. He does it all. He's a fucking man.
Steel, what's your favorite part from the interview?
Hearing some of the backstories. I mean, he's just had an awesome time meeting all those people. You get to travel so much, and he's living the dream. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like being a boxer. It really is.
I thought he was going to come through the screen when I said he lived in West Virginia.
Yeah, I thought he was. I thought that clearly is like...
Oh, that rival.
Whatever like college football teams he likes is arch rivals with...
Sad like fact, he told me he was from like D.C., and then he said he was from Virginia, but... Idiot move for me. Yeah,
I don't think he's from DC. He lives in Virginia now.
DC's in Virginia.
I think
though,
it's
right?
in Maryland.
DC like is technically its own thing, but like
maybe I'm not an idiot.
Wait, excuse me. It's in Delaware.
They all claim it. Like it's like its own.
No.
Thing. Yeah, dude.
No, that's not a fact.
We'll Google that.
DC is inside Delaware. I'm almost 100% positive.
So what else do? On the show, we also got some Jake Paul recap. He fought last week, finally lost.
We have some huge UFC news this week. We got the return of John Bones Jones, the baddest man to ever come into the UFC ring. One of my personal favorite fighters.
3 years in the making, boys. Let's go.
And our guest today is Scary Barry from the Rough and Rowdy. Scary, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm excited, dude. I've been listening to this since probably before my first Rough and Rowdy when you guys were having Bobby on. So it's pretty cool, man.
Oh, yeah. Scary, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Scary's a good personal friend of the podcast. When I say he actually listens to every single episode, when we were just in Providence together for Bobby's last fight, he's like literally referencing stuff I was saying on the podcast, but like 45 minutes in. And I'm like, oh, shit. Nice. He actually listens.
He's
like,
real.
Yeah, I can't be low-key sending jabs to Scary Barry. But I just want to get an introduction here. Scary Barry is a well-known fighter in the sport and has gained reputation as aggressive fighting style and knockout power. Also known for his colorful personality and tendencies to trash talk his opponents to lead up to the fights. What is it like going into a fight for Rough and Rowdy?
It's all different, man. It's kind of hard for me with Rough and Rowdy because I really do like the trash talking stuff. So most of the time, man, it's probably not a good habit, but I'm more focused on that. I'm like, what am I going to say to this dude at the weigh-in and stuff, you know? And then we're all hyped up. And then after it, I'm like, man, I got to fight that guy tomorrow, huh? Like, yeah, I'm just more focused on it's hard because
yeah, probably for Rowdy, too, you know?
Yeah. You got to entertain him, too. But at the same time, I should probably focus a little more on the fighting, maybe. But
I got a better question.
The weigh-ins are so fun, man.
that ChatGPT question.
Just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up.
Here's the real first
Greg's
question.
Greg's already sweating.
How did you become like the money man, Scary Barry, like that first Rough and Rowdy? What drew you to it? What made you want to do it? What was up with that jumpsuit, money man jumpsuit? Like that was in Miami, right? Your first fight?
Man, I wish. It was in Charlestown, West Virginia.
Oh.
So we used to always travel in suits and stuff, kind of as a joke whenever we were going on trips. And then for one bachelor party, I got that money suit. And then I was just trying to get their attention, really. So I wore that suit in my video. And then from there, it was kind of just like, all right, I guess we're going to go all in on this money stuff here. And then pretty much just bought every piece of money article of clothing I could buy online and wore that.
You must have seen some shit looking that up. It must have been some crazy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like money tides.
A little wormhole there.
Yeah, like something crazy. So for our listeners, maybe not know, how many Rough and Rowdies have you been in? How many have you fought in?
4. I did those first two in Charlestown, West Virginia. That's kind of the closest part of West Virginia to where I live. So that's kind of how I got in. And then the one in Morgantown. And then was it that one in Huntington, West Virginia, where Marshall is.
Right.
Why the hell did I think you fought in the Miami? Were you ever involved in any of the Miami?
I wish,
thing?
Man. No. That would have been epic. Nah, and I should have too, because that one was that was all sponsored by FanDuel and FanDuel Sportsbook and stuff. And I worked for them for 6 years. So like that should have been me main event right there, man. I didn't know about it.
Say conflict of interest, maybe.
Yeah.
They saw the FanDuel on your resume.
Before it, they were partnered with them at that point.
True.
Which is kind of weird because right after that, they went with the Barstool Sportsbook and everything.
Yeah, with the Penn Gambling. That probably happened with the buyout
and
stuff, though. And so I got to know, how'd you get into fighting in general? Did you fight when you were younger? Did you kind of just spark your interest when you saw this?
Like I said, it was the entertainment thing.
Right. So that's like what brought you in, like straight up, like almost the WWE aspect, the shit talking, the showmanship, like really getting your attention out there, kind of being that viral sensation.
Yeah, sort of. It's funny because, you know, with you guys, like you look at Bobby Lang, like if a fight breaks out in your guys' neighborhood, like it's probably, you're calling out Bobby Lang, like he's the guy. Like I was the opposite of that growing up. I was always the small kid, you know? But then I got into boxing a little bit and I was doing it at home. And then during COVID, I just got a punching bag, started doing that and stuff. And then this just, we always talked about doing Rough and Rowdy, but again, it was never me. It was like always one of my other friends, but I was boxing at home, you know, you hit the bag a little bit. I felt like I could beat anybody in the world. And then, it was a close Rough and Rowdy. So I kind of just had to do it.
Do you have a specific game plan when you go into these fights or like where you're so new, it's kind of just like, I got to beat this guy in front of me or.
Definitely. Sort of the first one, it was like the whole time my boy that trained me, George, he's the man, he was telling me like there's going to be this huge adrenaline dump. Just, you know, be calm. So I'm telling everyone about that all day. You know, I'm like, I'm the expert now. And all day I'm like, breathe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the entrance for that one, but as soon as that money started flying above my head, it was like all that went out the window. And I was like, I'm going to kill this guy.
And then, like,
I don't think I took a single breath during the fight. Like I've never been more tired. The second one, yeah, it was way more like, let's chill out. And then I kind of need to find a mix from there between like still being a little bit aggressive but calming down a little bit, have a plan.
Like, has your fight game developed at all as far as like your style? Like you said, you're calming down, but like you definitely seen improvement in yourself and like what aspects?
Yeah, man, that's what's cool. It's like, I'm really learning this whole new thing and getting way better at it. And then I feel good about it too. I'm like, man, I probably should have learned to fight a long time ago. Probably a good thing to have in your back pocket.
I would have thought you had been fighting for a while. Like watching you from the beginning to now, you just seem like someone who's been boxing for like who's about it. I know you're always around helping these other
fighters. I was like the
too.
Opposite. I grew up mad small.
I'm
dude.
Surprised that you said that.
When I got my driver's permit, I was 5'1", dude. Oh, and shit. Not like a stocky 5'1". I was like tiny. So I was always talking shit, man. Always. Because I had my bigger friends. So.
But, gotta let it ride. Yeah, gotta let it ride.
When you're the smallest friend, you always have bigger
now
ones.
Now they're all married. And I'm like, now I'm the one working out all day. So I guess I got to be the fighter maybe.
Well, you got it now. And you've been doing it long enough.
So like diving into some like personal questions. Like what were you doing before boxing? What was like a hobby of yours or something you enjoyed like before you found the fight game?
Yeah, I'm always trying to play sports and stuff. So I still play hockey a little bit. Grew up soccer, hockey, lacrosse, and then, you know, playing pickup basketball around here. But now it's pretty – oh, and I was playing more golf too. I kind of stopped playing golf a little bit because I should probably work out on box instead. So that's kind of tough.
And speaking of working out, who are your trainers right now? So when you're down in West Virginia, like, do you have like a full team, or like, I know when you come up here for the fights, you fight with like the Sean, what's his last name?
McDonough.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean McDonough. Yeah. So I live in Virginia. There's a big difference between Virginia and West Virginia. So.
Oh, sorry.
Don't get it twisted. Yeah.
First state ever heard of it.
But, dude, like I said, I really had nothing. I had taken like probably like five boxing lessons from this guy George Billy. He's the fucking man. You've probably seen him with me in some of my fights, and he's just like a beast MMA fighter. Like, he was Kamaru Usman's roommate in college. He was champion wrestler.
That's a hell of
and
an
shit.
Accolade.
Like, this kid's a beast. And this was like, dude, when I got into Rough and Rowdy, I didn't hear back for a while, so I thought I was out. I was at the beach raging, and then they hit me up, and the fight was in 3 weeks. And my boy George had trained me a little bit a couple years ago, and I just texted him. I was like, dude, I'm fighting in 3 weeks. And he was at my house 7 a.m. the next day.
Oh, that's a good coach.
Warrior.
Gotta love that.
Yeah,
gotta love that.
Coach. Always him, and he took me into his gym, Aikido. So the guy's there, and my other boy, Ricardo, is a boxing coach, and he was like already training people and stuff. So he brought me in too. So they've been a big help. And then now Sean's training me online actually most of the time too. So that's my biggest thing. I wish I could be up there, man. That is like the best training up there.
Yeah, we know you were up here last week. So how was it like training for Bobby, kind of getting ready for the next Rough and Rowdy?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's like, I knew, y'all seen what level he's on. So just to be even in there training with him, and like, I felt like I was in pretty good shape to go in there. And then Sean's like, okay, we're going to do this drill. Here's this 10-pound ball. And then there's this 20-pound ball next to it. I'm like, what's that? He's like, that's what Bobby does.
Yeah. You don't got to worry about that.
And then it's like, you know, we get in the ring and stuff, and they kind of know what's up. So they're like, all right, let's get Bobby, you know, 10 rounds in there, and then you can go in. And maybe at the end, you'll be equally as tired after your two rounds. And that's pretty much how it goes.
So you've sparred him?
Yeah.
And when we were training for Kings of Combat, like, when we kind of like noticed that. So I think Magic was kind of revisiting back on that question about like, explain how he's shocked that you're not a boxer. I think it kind of boils down to like your motivation and determination to like the actual game of like putting in the work, the hard work and stuff. So when that comes to Bobby and you see him, and we're like going like, hey, let's try and get 3 days in this week, 4 days, 5 days. Bobby's like, no, for the last 7 days, for the last 4 years, I have nonstop go to the gym. Like, no questions asked. Like, I am so dedicated to that. So that what is that like seeing as far as like that championship level?
Oh, he's all in. Cause it's kind of weird with Rough and Rowdy too. Like how I said, you know, it's still kind of entertainment. So like Bobby was the first one I saw. We're like, yeah, dude, you know, people are going to watch this and laugh and have a good time. But like, I'm here to like hurt people and be the champ and stuff. And, you know, he doesn't give a fuck who he's boxing for, where it is. Like, he's going to do whatever it takes to win that fight. And it's just you can see it in his eyes at all time, dude. He's crazy.
That man does not want to lose.
Oh,
I promise you.
No, does not.
He won't lose. He can't lose.
I honestly don't think he ever will lose.
Even when you're saying about how he's like, hey, let Bobby do 10 rounds in there, then you can go in. Like, when we were in the boxing gym, Bobby tells me, he's like, hey, we'll spar. I'll take it semi-easy on me. But he's like, I literally want you going 135,000%. Literally fucking smash me as hard as possible. Like, if I can't be up to your level, then the only good. But like, even that mindset from him, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, fucking.
Yeah, I'm going to skip the gym this day, actually. I told him I rotated.
Yeah, you're going to be there? I don't know.
You couldn't pay me to get in that fucking ring to spar with him.
So, coming from the entertainment value of Rough and Rowdy, what are some of the craziest things you've seen, happened, heard, backstories? What are some experiences from there?
Dude, I should have prepared for this, man. The backstories, too, like hearing about the people from the beginning, but... I mean, thinking back, I think pretty much every time I walk into a hotel now, just a normal hotel, I think about the second Charlestown one after Billy Football knocked out Jose Canseco. That was still during COVID. So we had the casino bar for a little bit. And then they closed that down, and we came back to the hotel, and we were supposed to be like in the lobby and stuff. And we went up to my room to grab a few things, and it was like me and the promoter's wife and like a bunch of the fighters and stuff. It was supposed to be like 10 of us going up there real quick, like getting some beers and stuff, bring them back down to the lobby. It just ended up with, no joke, this is just a standard two bed queen hotel room. There's 50 people in there the rest of the night, like just nonstop. Like, you know, there's midgets running around. There's like Barstool people. The promoter's in a full-on tuxedo the whole night, like all my boys from home and just like a whole bunch of Rough and Rowdy people. That was complete madness. So I'm thinking about that one.
Is that the Rough and Rowdy you kind of became known as, like that, the after? I don't know. Bobby always said you were like the guy. He was like, Barry throws the best after parties for Rough and Rowdy.
I feel it kind of trickled in the first one. We had a little bit, like Shizat and a couple other guys came, but that one was just full on. Like, if you're at this event, you're in this hotel room at the end of the night. And I don't know how it happened.
Even when we went to your room at the end for Pravi, it felt like we were hanging with the champion
that night.
Yeah, it kind of went like that. And then Morgantown, we had a big suite. That one, same thing. It was just like, as soon as you get in the elevator, you could just hear the floor and everything.
It's like Barry's room. Barry's room's where it's at tonight.
Yeah, and it was like that up until the where they're going now in Charleston. That one was insane, actually. This one, they had, when you go out to the gym, there was a whole rooftop, like when you walk out the gym, and it was on top of the third floor of the hotel. Basically just like kind of a small ballroom size, but a rooftop. And after that, it was just a full on party up there, like bottles of liquor. There's pizzas all over the place, just like beers. And there's like, that was when they had a bunch of the influencers too. So there's pro boxers up there. There's UFC fighters. There's all this crazy shit. I'm looking around like, this is just a full on festival up here on this roof.
I mean,
and then in the middle of it too, we went to the bar and it was probably 75 people walking from the hotel to the bar, which was nearly a mile away. And then we get there and they charge us a cover too.
Fuck
middle of West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia.
Do you want
75
people coming in or not?
I remember the first Rough and Rowdy I went to was in Youngstown, Ohio. That was my first experience with it, like attending one. I just on a whim went. I don't even know who the fuck was fighting back then. It was before
they had
Bobby.
That cop fighting.
It was the cop. Yeah, the cop was fighting. Fucking Raccoon Boy, like old school names, people that aren't around anymore. But that it reminded me of that. It was like after the fights, everyone went out to the bars, and it was like all you saw was the fighters out and about. They were in the middle of the street, like the ring girls and shit were out. I was like, this is awesome. We're in like the shitty little fucking Youngstown, Ohio town. I would never be here in my life.
Yeah, the depths of Ohio.
And I'm chilling with Raccoon Boy and shit right now. This is I was in heaven.
It's crazy, man. Like when I got into it, I'll tell you, I came into it with my best friend, man, the SEAL. That's my guy my whole life. And he, like we were joking about it. You know, you just think everyone in Rough and Rowdy is just like some dumb hick, like all this. Like I would have bet $1 million that I would not make a single friend in there. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to these guys. Yeah. Then you get in there, you realize like everyone's actually cool as shit, man.
Yeah. So, like, who's some of the coolest people you've met? Like, whether it be a celebrity or another fellow boxer that you become friends with?
I mean, as far as the boxers, Bobby's one of the first ones I met. I sat next to him at the my first weigh-in. And he was mad cool. He was wearing a shirt. He was fighting Wade. And he had a shirt on that said, Wade doesn't burn. I don't know if you guys watch Real Bros of Simi Valley. So, it's a show on... It's literally on Facebook, so not many people watch it. So,
Nice plug in.
Shout it out. Did he get that custom made?
Yeah.
Did he get that?
He actually might have.
Bobby's
sure,
crazy like that.
One of my roommates loved that show, and we always watch it, and we're always just, you know, making fun of people saying they don't burn. So that was probably like the two people in the world that would get that joke was me and him. And then Shizat. I met Shizat at my first one. He was like... real cool. And then, you know, Ninja, like you see the whole crew that we're with there. And most of us have fought, you know, all of them, like Hot Wheels is from here, Smidge, all them. I met Flying Ryan when he was fighting Smidge. So all them. But then it's crazy too, meeting the pro boxers and stuff that are coming and training the people and stay in touch with a lot of them too. So I've met some wild people through that. Like Sonny Kanto, he's a you might be the heavyweight champ kind of soon. And like met him at Rough and Rowdy. He's cool as shit. It's wow. pretty cool.
That is cool. Did you end up meeting Jose Canseco when he was fighting Bobby Football?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, he was out there the whole time and like, you know, Hot Wheels is hanging out with us and he was aggressively hitting on her the whole time. Like, you know, she could be in a group with all like five dudes talking to us and he'd just come on and be like, yeah, so about that phone number, are you going to get that?
Wow.
All this. And then he,
I feel like being a girl, yeah. like catching his eye, that must be the worst. Yeah. Like Jose Canseco.
I mean, back in the day, hard. Jose Canseco.
Yeah, like, he definitely creeps hard.
He's got that creep vibe. Yeah. And Hot Wheels is hot.
That one, the whole way in, that was when I Eat Ass was there too. He's one of the good ones from the beginning.
Is I Eat Ass in the cool? Is he in the cool group?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, like, I feel bad if I'm going to like not name him. You know, I'm going to have to rattle him off now, you know, but yeah, you can right? see pretty obviously who I'm close with. But
we'll have them all on eventually.
Yeah. But then after the fight too, you know, Jose takes his dive and then we're in the little like casino bar and he's out there with 10 beers in front of him just trying to talk to all the ring girls. Like, he didn't care about that fight at all.
Not at all.
No,
he's got the money and the fame.
He was so happy.
He probably thought he was going to win. I don't know.
I don't even. Same thing. Like, he literally looked knows? Like he took a dive. Like,
yeah, just fell over. He just crumbled.
Yeah.
Crumbled.
Like, literally, like, that's what it looked like. That's what I.
Maybe he was basing it off if, like, Billy came out like a pussy. Maybe he would have given him some time. But Billy went right at him and he was probably like, I'm all set.
Yeah,
here.
Fuck this. Yeah.
This is, you know what? This ain't worth it. I'm getting paid either way. At least now they won't ever have that shit happen again because everyone was pissed. I ruined Rough and Rowdy that event.
What event was
that? Yeah, that event was insane, though. That was probably my favorite one.
That was a while ago at this point. I don't know exactly when.
Yeah, that was like 2.5 years ago, probably.
How are you feeling about this upcoming event? We got some good fights going again. Are you excited to see this Vicky girl fight? She's the headliner.
Dude, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because she was banging. She was banging in Providence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was my favorite Rough and Rowdy event to watch was the earlier Providence one before I was in it. Mm. And like her fight in that was probably the best fight in Rough and Rowdy history, dude. She's fucking badass, yo. And then, that chick she fought last time was good, man. But she's on another level.
I'm worried about Cherry Bomb. I'm not going to lie. Cherry Bomb's a beast. Cherry Bomb's kind of a fucking beast. Vicky's a beast, but I feel like Cherry Bomb's way bigger.
Are they in the same weight class?
Yeah, they are. Somehow. I'd have to check their weights. Let me.
So
because West Virginia's
I think what
weird.
They're doing is they're meeting at 139. Which will probably be Cherry Bomb getting to 139 and Vicky being a little low. She was, I saw Cherry Bomb in Huntington and she was definitely slimmer than before. And she was kind of mentioning that she had been working out a lot, looking to get slimmer. But she, like last time she fought Hot Wheels, dude, I bumped into her and like she's got some guns, man. And I didn't want to bump into her anymore, man. She's really nice, but I'm scared of her.
So same thing with West Virginia kind of having crazy rules, like where Bobby fought that guy was like 160 pounds. Could in a lot of these like outside countries are doing these crazy exhibition events. Could you ever see Rough and Rowdy doing a guy versus a girl?
Honestly, yeah.
They had the tranny in Huntington. But he fought a guy.
I remember that.
I think stuff like that, though, would... I don't know if they would ever do something like that, because Barstool, you know, people would be all over
that.
Classic Barstool, you know, against the girls.
Yeah,
so.
I feel like that would have happened at one of the earlier ones.
Yeah, especially during COVID.
Yeah, but it was just like, fuck it, man.
I bet
the world
had
bigger things to
worry
about.
Yeah, like just throw it under the radar.
Guy's ass.
So I have the weights here. It says Cherry Bomb's at 136 and Vicky's at 132. So maybe...
Yeah,
I guess they
are.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But
Cherry Bomb's got 9 years on her.
She does have some fucking guns, dude. I can see the bicep vein.
Oh, Vicky's such a smoke show. We're rooting for Vicky.
Vicky all day. Vicky all day.
Vicky all day. If she takes this home, she's on her way to being like the Bobby.
Yeah,
the woman.
The women's.
Yeah, because that's like Cherry Bomb. Like isn't she
right now?
Like right now,
Cherry Bomb 6-0. Vicky's 2-0. This is Vicky's make or break moment.
Who you got here, Scary?
Who we got?
I'm going with Vicky, man.
Let's
but
go.
Hey,
they're good.
Is that mine?
No, that's on me. We're all fine.
Is it? Okay.
Our free meeting's gonna end.
Cherry Bomb. is basically a part. Her husband is like the number two in command for the commission. Like he's sitting there ringside with the judges and everything.
I don't love that. I don't love that.
So we need a knockout, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just don't know if Vicky's going to get a knockout on Cherry Bomb. But either way, hopefully she beats her definitively.
But Vicky's, she stays real tight, too. Oh, yeah. You know, Cherry Bomb kind of comes back. Like, it's not really easy to fight.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because some of the rough and rowdies, they are just swinging.
After seeing Vicky fight in Magic, I probably would take Vicky.
Vicky beat me up.
Yeah, I wouldn't fight her. Vicky would work.
Vicky and legit won, respectfully.
So with the fight coming up,
she's definitely the top dog.
We have Bobby fighting this week. What are your predictions on that?
How do
you
Lights Out Lang versus Make It Happen. I don't know how Make It Happen got champ so easy, but whatever.
Well. Well, promoter guy likes him, so
okay. Well, it's time for Make It Happen to stay to not happen.
There's some stuff going on behind the scenes.
Honestly, I think it's going to look like Bobby's first fight, that kid in Providence.
Mike Live.
I think it's going to look a lot like that. That dude was game, yo. Respect to Mike Live, man. He should get another shot, but you know, he kept coming at Bobby and stuff, and Bobby's just lighting his ass up, and he was a big dude, so he came a little bit more.
Mike Live bit off more than he could chew. Mike Live, like, definitely if he fought another fight, he probably comes out there looking good. He had the swag. He was perfect for Rough and Rowdy. He picked the wrong fucking guy.
Yeah, he did He didn't even know it at that point. Like,
he kind of knew.
He
one really did know Bobby was, like, all that.
Yeah, I mean, he's big. Like, we obviously did. Big, like, yeah. But
so this Rough and Rowdy, we got big, heavy corners for Bobby Lang. Big, heavy corners for Vicky coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Big support. Anyone else you're looking forward to seeing fighting this weekend?
Yeah, man. Again, I should have had this queued up. Hot Wheels is in there against some hockey player or something.
She's the ring girl that also doubles as the boxer.
Yeah.
I think I actually have a love crush on that girl.
I'm in love with Vicky. I'm looking at her picture right now.
Yeah, she's looking hot as fuck. That's like AI generated.
It's AI generated, but whatever. She's smoking.
Who else? They got the guy that Bobby will probably fight next in there, too, the Diamond Hands guy.
Diamond Hands. Yep. Big Booty Daddy's like back in the mix fighting Irish Dave Portnoy. I can't believe they let
that fucker back in.
I can't either.
They
want to
give him his fame.
That guy's an embarrassment.
See,
that guy's an absolute
the fact that Big Booty Daddy's back in it, though, it could be an issue. Like, he's not going to go quietly.
I think Shizid's going to sucker him again.
That'd be sick.
I hope so, dude.
Me too. He's
a piece of shit, man. Like, when the camera's on and he knows, you know, people are going to defend him, security and shit. He'll talk shit. He'll see you off camera, and like, he's the biggest pussy in the world, man.
You can tell.
Yeah, they were saying that like he is a piece of shit. Like, not just the character. Like,
you can see it in his eyes.
No, he's like, dude, what's so weird too? You hear the way he talks and the stuff he does and shit. He comes with his parents to the fight. And they're like, he calls everyone inbreds, dude. His parents look like they're straight out of the Hills Have Eyes, man. Like, after he won his last fight, his dad was like getting in my face and shit. This dude's fucking weird, yo.
Get back in your minivan, pal.
He looks weird.
Yeah.
He's a strange character.
Do we think the Irish Dave Portnoy can beat him, though? Like,
he's nice, man. Irish Dave Portnoy's got some skills.
I like it. I hope he wins.
Yeah, that's a hilarious. No,
yeah, so like, those are our three teams we're voting for. Bobby Lang, fucking the Irish Dave Portnoy, and Vicky. I'm betting a parlay on that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
The Hammer versus the Plumber. Notorious Big Black versus Murder Mitts. There's some good.
That's a great name.
The Real Deal versus. There's another Magic Mike fighting in this one. If depending on how that goes, I might have to call that Magic
Mike.
Get
your name there.
Yeah, that might have to be the namesake battle. Yeah,
he's literally
that's so perfect.
His fighter picture is literally his girl on his shoulder, and he looks like he's smoking a weed pen. I love this. This could be my next fight, Scary.
Let me see that.
Yeah, that might need to happen.
We have to line that up. This guy can get a win.
So
or if he doesn't, who cares?
Speaking of this weekend and kind of looking towards the future, where do you see yourself going in, say, 5 years with the boxing game as far as Rough and Rowdy goes? Or what does your legacy want to be?
Yeah, I have to get a belt. Like, I have to. So hopefully I'll get another Rough and Rowdy fight soon. And I don't know if I'd have to win some. The little promoter they have now, he does some other fights and stuff too. And that's usually who he's given these title shots to, is his guys that win those. So I was thinking about just going and winning one of those, and then he has to give me a shot.
Why not?
Yeah,
I have to get a belt, dude. I have to get a Rough and Rowdy belt, and then we can talk about stopping or whatever is next from there, but I can't stop until I get a belt. I will get it.
Retiring with the belt would be a crazy move.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't even know. All I care about is I have to get a belt,
yeah,
man.
Great. Love that. But yeah, the
like all my homies have one, you know, Dustin, Bobby, Ninja. They all got one. I'm the only one. All
right, well, that's our fucking main goal then. Let's focus on it and get it done.
Get it, man.
With that dedication and motivation, you got it, Scary Bear. Anything's possible.
Champs here.
Let's go. Yeah, exactly, man. I'll come back on here with that belt.
Yep, exactly. Oh, yeah. And we before we go, I got to mention the shirt. Can we get a look at that?
Yeah,
the lights out. Core Box. Oh, OG sure Bobby Lang shirt.
Look at that shirt.
Shout out Mike Foley and Core Box over in Randolph.
Yeah, get your shirts there. Big He's time, probably got man. Them in stock.
Hey, Magic sent my own punishment today, so he had the boxing gloves. He didn't want to wear them from the interview, but show him your belt. Kids got him in the Garda belt.
Oh, hey. And I got some
ready,
vintage,
man.
I got some vintage Rough and Rowdy
gear. It's on you. It's on
you. Dude, I saw that shit. Yo, that's a big deal, man.
I don't got a belt, but winning this.
Those jackets get talked about a lot. Like, I definitely don't have one. Shizat the Rizat, he's like top dog in Rough and Rowdy. He doesn't have one.
I might have to give it
Barely that. Anybody has a jacket these days.
How about this? You win that championship belt, I'll make Magic give this to you.
That's a deal.
All right, let's set it up. That's the deal. You win the belt, you get this jacket.
I fought my brother, and that's how I fought in Rough and Rowdy. He's literally like, you wear that thing around like an old Letterman jacket. He's like, you're such a fucking loser.
A badge of honor.
I'd fight him again and put his head in the fucking rafters.
That's exactly what the loser would say. Fuck out of here.
I'll be back. I'm going to fight this Magic Mike kid. Mark my words.
And speaking of coming back, next time you're there and when you're coming for that championship belt, the Steel and Az boys will be there in support, just like you support us.
Hell yeah.
We're doing a live pod at the next event.
Yeah, we're going to have to get crazy next time. We need to be more prepared.
I'll come with some more stories next time. But one quick one I was thinking of, because I had to have something. At the last event, they had the new commission in there and stuff. And we're sitting there eating lunch the day of it. And we've been kind of partying with the commission all night, the night before. I don't know. I guess we can say this. But then we're eating lunch the next day. And like the ref is like, he's about to puke. He's all hungover. And the commissioner comes up. He's like, yeah, so what are the rules?
there's no rules here, baby.
And Shizat was just like, say, you know, two of your boys are fighting in the backyard or something.
Yeah.
The ref's like, yeah, yeah. And Shizat's like, well, how would you ref that? He's like, that's referati.
Pretty much. Love it. That's actually pretty accurate.
That's pretty much it. Pretty love much that. How you have
yeah,
to
that's
it.
The attitude of it. But Scary Barry, thanks for coming on. Just want to say,
you
can't
guys.
Wait for your next fight. We'll be watching and support. Thanks for listening, and catch you next time.
Hell yeah. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. This is awesome. Let's go. Lights out.
Good to finally have you on. We've been talking about it. Glad to see you here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been waiting.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
The new year is almost here, and if you're looking to shed off some holiday pounds before beak season, well, look no further and head on down to Slight Edge Fitness Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts. Owned and operated by our guy, Quincy legend, Craig Kelly. You will be assured that you are getting the best training around. They believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training and have been leading the charge at their state-of-the-art fitness facility since 2020. Their staff is actively enriching the lives of members and creating a community of like-minded people who love being healthy and strong. They are helping you to get in shape and teaching you how to maintain your health and fitness. Group fitness classes as well as one-on-one personal training sessions are available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com and also follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. If you're looking to get back in shape or trying to get a slight edge on the competition, this gym is for you. Check out Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts, and tell them the boys from Steel and Naz sent you.
Let's go.
What else do we got?
What else? We got March 1st today. Episode's coming out on March 2nd when you're hearing this. We
March
got
Madness
our March Madness
coming.
Around the corner. We got St. Patrick's Day around the corner. We got some big things planned. This is a big month for everyone. So be ready. Spring's around the corner. I think we just dive right.
Yeah, this one's gonna get wild right now. We're the interview's at the
first
end.
First things
one.
First.
You'll have to tune
Thank
in.
Thank fucking God, Jake Paul fucking lost.
No,
That was one of the greatest things I've ever heard. I was working on a Gen Watch. I check my phone. Jake Paul goes down. Jake Paul goes down.
Yeah, no, the people were jacked up. I couldn't believe when the second, because I think it was the last round when he knocked down Tommy Fury, and I was like, well, that's it. That's over. He's going to win. There's no way. Like, he knocked him down.
Did you watch the fight?
Part of it. I did tune in a bit.
Where?
I on my phone, just, like, streaming it.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to us back in the day when we used to do that shit.
Yeah, did not do anything cool for
I don't think anyone actually streamed that fight. Like, everything online, like all social media accounts were like, just watch my page. I'm live streaming it now.
Yeah, you paid for that cringeworthy. Like,
so he got absolutely not. Yeah, I didn't watch it either, but
no, I heard it wasn't close.
I heard it wasn't close.
It was a pretty close fight. They both like both of them would get absolutely massacred by like.
That's also what I heard. It's
but like they were fairly equal. Like Tommy Fury was definitely better, but
who delivered like harder shots?
Fury. Fury had a much better jab that he was working in. Jake Paul hit him good when he avoided the jab a few times because he was trying to throw an overhead right like the entire fight. Like
Jake, it's probably his only go-to. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah, and like he definitely kind of knew he was behind. About halfway or so yeah. He just started ripping it. And then he caught him a couple times. Like
he went down, so I didn't watch the
yeah, fight. He knocked Tommy Fury down.
See, even that
alone. It was a little bit of a slip, though, I heard.
I mean, it wasn't like...
It wasn't like a knockout.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't Greg at Kings of Combat. Like.
Yeah, jaw wide open, fucking my ears were ringing.
Well, no.
But he got back up. Like, it wasn't a knockout or anything, but like, it was close enough.
Oh, so it was like Craig Hanzik.
Craig's been confirmed there was referee interference.
Wait, this is breaking news. Sorry to cut you off.
No, this cut
yeah,
me
this,
off.
This
is huge.
We'll
breaking
it,
news.
We'll pull it up
breaking
on a clip.
Breaking news. Breaking news. We're going to put this up. Adam's going to stitch this together for us. There is a conspiracy going on with Kings of Combat.
Fact. Craig's bouncing around, la-di-da, boxing a great first round.
I probably should switch to my game plan. We're not looking back on the past. We're looking back on footage and facts right here.
It's an honorable game. We want fairness.
That's all I want. I just want an equal chance in the ring. We're putting our lives on the ring. Just give me a fair chance.
You'll see, clear as day.
If you go back to my knockdown... You saw my style. I'm bouncing around like a rabbit. Tortoise in the hair. Fucking tortoise always wins, but the rabbit's going to beat the shit out of him. You know, I might get lucky. So when I'm bouncing around, there's a point where I go back. The ref grabs me and pushes me to the left-hand side.
Into the punch.
Immediately after. Yeah, into the punch. He threw me into that right hand. I don't know if there's ref interference, but I just want to fucking rematch.
I don't think you're, yeah. Definitely.
I just need a rematch.
You earned a rematch no matter what.
I've already said it before. I thought I won the fight. That knockdown didn't happen. I think even with the knockdown, I feel like I got more points on him.
I'd like to hear the Rhino's take on when he sees that footage and he realizes.
He's
going to
have
excuses.
They were plugged in. Who knows? But you'll see it. It's clear as fucking day. The ref's hands are on Craig.
Also, I need to change my mindset pre-fight. I was having a blast. This dude Blake was literally hating life. I was like, same thing. That's not how you want to be.
Our side of the dungeon was a little loose on our end.
Yeah.
We were having a lot of fun.
We were in the dungeon.
We were in the dungeon doing weird things down there. Who knows what they were doing in the other corner, but I think it was a little more serious.
Yeah, Magic was like fighting a 9-year-old man.
I got a black eye from a 9-year-old
man.
Yeah,
getting his ass kicked.
Also, another conspiracy breaking news was my guy who did my wrist wraps. Excuse me. His father was in the boxing game. His kids are. His wife is like a fucking national kickboxing champion, right? Been in the fight game forever. Guy's telling us a story, so we're talking about like just our greatest fighters while he's wrapping up my hands. Probably like a 5-10 minute process. So I'm saying like, oh, like some of my greatest fighters, like obviously Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, and I was like, yeah, it just sucks because one of my greatest fighters at the time was like Sonny Liston, who was one of like literally they call him the Shadow, one of the baddest mans of all time. Like fucking literally, like they didn't even have a plow at his farm when he was younger. They just literally had this kid till the fields. So I was like, yeah, it kind of sucks. Like Muhammad Ali, like I thought that fight would have been better because that's the infamous photo where Muhammad Ali's standing over the guy. With,
yeah,
like,
on
the,
top.
Yeah. On top, like the 6-round knockout, whatever it is. Like as soon as I say that, that guy brings up his face and he's like, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? He's like, my dad was actually in Sonny Liston's corner. And all I got to say is he's like, yeah, well, all I got to say is like Muhammad Ali was definitely tied in with the mob. And it was kind of like, Sonny, listen, you're going down.
So interesting.
So from an iconic photo moment history in Muhammad Ali's boxing career.
So what you're saying, that threw you off your fight game,
man? Like
that threw you off your fight game, you're saying?
No. But I just know people can get paid off. So maybe I bring
Boxing's been rigged since like day one. And we didn't know it extended that far.
What are the odds?
I think it went to the amateur level. So I'm bringing my fucking checkbook next time.
What are the
odds? How many judges? Yeah. 1, 2, 3. What's pay commissioner? Off, referee?
Imagine,
okay, here you go.
Imagine I won my fight with the two second round TKO. That would have been
sick. They throw in the towel. They still go, magic wins.
Yeah, judges, magic, decision, unanimous.
The question has to be asked now. Did maybe Jake Paul break his fight the other way? Did he pay?
For the rematch?
No.
Did he pay, to get the rematch?
His ego is way too big for that.
His ego is probably too big. And
yeah,
too
but
much
maybe not, though.
That's possible.
Maybe it adds to a second layer now. I don't know.
Same thing. The guy is a fucking genius at whatever he does. Whether people like him or not, he's fucking getting attention. Love me or hate me, you're still watching me. So, like,
he still made a ton of money.
Yeah, all the power to
I don't know why he would pay for himself to lose, but it's fucking possible. I don't. I'd have. We'll see later on.
Hey, this is the show.
Had to get
this
odds.
Is the show.
I don't know
believe.
What the odds were. Yeah,
he was favored. I don't know
what the odds.
We'll have to see how this plays in the long term. But knowing Jake Paul, he's still got more money. He can still pay people off. I believe in rigging stuff. So
fair.
Like, I don't know. I'm stating. I don't know why he would have rigged that to lose, but. In the grand scheme of things, maybe he's got a greater story.
Yeah, big picture. Big picture.
He's waiting to really break Tommy Fury's pretty face next fight, like kill him.
But like actual,
he hustled him. Yeah. Maybe he hustled him. He wants to murder it when his child's a little more grown. Lots of layers to this. Steel.
Yeah, he knew he was having a baby. So
he just
gave
had
him
the
break.
Baby. The baby won't remember it technically now, but next time they fight, the baby will be probably there and see poor fucking dad getting mangled. I think that's possible.
And then comes out and says, I lost on purpose, bet on you, and waited for your son to get his first memory of me beating your ass.
That would be badass.
Now you guys are thinking big picture.
Now we're thinking like Jake Paul.
Yeah,
now exactly. I'm thinking like the problem child.
Yeah.
And now I'm 100% convinced he paid to rig that.
What a turn of events. That was like 3 minutes.
Wait a second. I don't know if anyone's had that take, but I'm trademarking that one.
Wait a second. Do you think Rhino maybe paid off the ref? I don't know. He's kind of close to me
decent
on that backhand side.
Decent chance.
I didn't see him hanging around him.
Didn't see it.
He wasn't anywhere near the Rhino.
Wasn't even near him. I need my space to run, dude. You see me out there. I'm
fucking
bouncing.
Gazelle bouncing.
No, yeah. No, it got to be better. Like
kangaroo.
Even like just in boxing, like as a ref. Like, and that ref was like 5 hours late or whatever the fuck he was for Kings of Combat.
That was tough.
But dude, like I don't know, like even if like I was in, but like you got to get out of the boxer's way, dude. Like you can't like that's just like
I can't wait till you see the footage.
You don't need to know the rules.
You maybe
to, like,
think we're
that.
like building it up a little bit, like it's a lie. Like he's clear as day, grabbing him,
grabs me.
I don't know. If
I'm interested
I'm
too.
Say,
I have not seen. The
I'm not
going
to say
just...
he pushed him into the punch, but he. Either way. A hand on your hip's going
to
throw you off.
We own the copyrights to Kings of Combat. I could throw it on screen.
Yeah, we'll take this to the judges.
Yeah, let's pull it up on screen. We're getting crazy.
You want to do it right now?
Okay,
all right. While we're in mid-limbo.
No, we'll figure it out.
Up.
We'll figure it
out.
Yeah,
no. I'm looking it up.
Do we
want to know? I want to hear these rough and rowdy things while working on this conspiracy, because that's the main part of this episode.
Well, we went over the big fights, the headliner, this Vicky versus Cherry Bomb.
Let's do a full rundown from undercard to main card.
Vicky DiRico, I think her name is. She's local. Apparently works at Granite Links from Rhode Island. I don't know if she still works at Granite Links. Does she? Yeah.
Yep.
She's finally getting her vicious Vicky. She fought in my Rough and Rowdy. She fought in Bobby's Rough and Rowdy in Providence. Finally fought again. Last one in Providence.
And she becomes fucking champion.
2-0.
Saturday.
If she beats Cherry Bomb, who's 6-0. Cherry Bomb's never lost. She's a bad bitch. She looks like a bad bitch. Vicky's a bad bitch in her own way. Very hot. If Vicky takes her down, this is legendary stuff here. And she's the headliner. This is...
Yeah,
for the first time, Bobby's not the headliner, which is weird. I don't know if I love that as a Lights Out Lang guy, but if it's going to be anyone, I'm glad it's Vicky.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If Vicky wins this, I mean, she's coming on here next. Are we all in agreement on that? Like, Vicky's up next.
Without question.
Champ's here.
Champ's here, Vicky. So we're rooting for you. We probably should add her on. I hope she wins because I would like to interview a winner instead of her coming off her first loss. So let's see what we get.
All right.
Next fight up will be Lightsaw Lang versus Make It Happen, who I think is a jailbird.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, was it before his first fight? Wasn't he kind of freshly out from a manslaughter charge?
Freshly out of jail, something like that. Yep, which is interesting. Bobby handles those kind of people.
Yeah,
I'll say less than that. But
I think the tune-up video said manslaughter. I do not know that. I do not know.
Which is scary to the average guy, other than Lightsaw Lang. Like, that's a scary thing to hear.
No, that's not what you want. That's not what you want the fucking guy you're fighting to have.
This guy, he's got that bad. You know, that's a hell of a resume builder. You know, like when you get a resume, come in to the guy you're gonna fight and it says manslaughter charges, murdered a man. I don't know if I'd want to take.
I think he shows up in the prison gear too. Or at least he did the other ones.
Good. Hopefully he gets sent to prison after the fight for something. Yeah, I want him. This guy.
We have confirmation.
We pulled up. We have it live here. Kings of Combat.
To the camera up here. Hold on. Let's get the.
Showtime can't get enough of watching.
So this is the exact moment. So
here we go.
I have one more bounce around the ring.
Here we go. Watch that ref, folks. Watch that ref.
Ready for it?
Right
He's
here.
Ready for it. Right here.
Right here.
He pushed me that way. I was bouncing back. Can we
rewind
that?
Rewind.
Can we get a quick
He might have pushed you. Definitely
here
grabbed you.
Get a load of the guy in blue. Right there. He had two hands on me. It doesn't look like a lot, but he's fucking shoving me from the back. One more time for the fans back home. Here we are.
Watch
we
those
are.
Hands.
Watch my feet. Full stoppage! That's bullshit. That's fucking bullshit.
It really is truly something that needs to be looked into.
It's an absolute travesty to the boxing world in general.
And Rhino, if you're listening.
Rhino, you know I'm
You
ready.
Better come get the smoke.
Hey, he's still got to hit the punch. Can't take it away from Rhino.
Rhino's probably the strongest guy in that fucking place. Not gonna lie.
No, yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, that, like, beating the way of a punch, like.
Does Rhino beat Lightsaw Lang?
No.
But he might be stronger. That's fair.
But the only thing is, like, same thing with boxing. You got to know about the weight classes and shit. Like, there's all those differentials. Like, same thing. That guy was fucking huge. That Bobby Lang fought that one time. That was like 100 pounds more. But that guy was fucking 100% fat. There was no muscle.
Yeah,
like,
that guy was just a
Blake's
house. Yeah.
Like, literally squatting 600, benching like fucking 350. Like, that's not normal. But for anyone. Then you throw it on a fat guy with some ass behind it. That's a knockout punch right there.
We'll leave it to you folks if you think there was some foul play there. I think it's pretty obvious there was at least a little foul play.
There was some interference.
You can't deny that the ref was middle school dancing Showtime for a solid 0.5 to a second.
If he was at a night stance, the people that helped
him,
said,
back up.
Hands up, pal. Hands up. Hands up. And he's just looking at you like this.
What other fight? So Bobby... You'll hear later in the interview from Scary how he feels this is going to go. I think we all agree that Bobby's probably going to take it.
Small dick that beat dad is fighting.
He is.
He's going to get his ass kicked by the Irish Dave
Portnoy. Dave Portnoy. That would be sick, too. That would just
Irish
should be
Dave
a name
Chappelle?
For somebody.
I think I might be the Irish Dave Chappelle.
That should be a name for somebody.
For anyone who knows the Abel brothers, they'll be back there.
The Abel brothers are a fucking entertainment factor. Like, they come in and they put on a show. Whether they're winning or losing, they come out full force, always have a fucking shit talking. Wayne's always good.
Just want to get it. We get into it a little later, but this Magic Mike guy, he'll be fighting the real deal. Just something to keep an eye on.
Honestly, I want Magic Mike to win because...
See if we can get that. Get me on a zoom in shot. Get me on a zoom in shot.
Him losing would be great because then you could be like, I'm 1-0, he's 0-1. Like, yeah. How can he keep the name? Like, that would be a great way
The
to
fight of the Magic that. Mikes, I think, has to happen.
Either way you put that,
I'm
though,
very invested
yeah,
in how
they're 1-1 in champs. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. It's like, you got to fight that guy.
So, if you guys are Rough and Rowdy fans, obviously we are. I highly suggest get the pay-per-view.
Big card.
Pay-per-view. It's always going to be electric. Hopefully we can make it down to the next one. I hope they leave fucking West Virginia. I'm sick of that being... It's just a terrible destination. There's no airports there.
And same thing where it's already been in Rhode Island a few times. Like, you're up here in this commission. Like, we've already had exhibition-style fights with Kings of Combat here. So we like kind of set the groundwork for it. I don't understand why they don't just capitalize off of that with the exhibition. No headgear. It's essentially what they're trying to do in West Virginia, except without the leniency on the commissioning rules of the boxing regulations with like weight and type of shit like that. And they have tightened up since that Bobby Lang fight where he had to fight the huge guy. So
we need a different destination. Next fight.
Anywhere if besides our, if West our Virginia, vote
means anything.
West Virginia might actually be the worst place to have it besides Ohio. And I know they did have it there already. So maybe they are just picking the worst places ever.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Or the Providence, Rhode Island isn't the best place around.
No. No, it's but not. It's always a good time when we're there.
But bring that shit to the Garden. Place to be fucking bumping.
Buzzing, kid. Buzzing.
Portnoy, take notes.
Next up, we got big UFC tilt. This
big
week's
UFC, return to John Jones.
Give us the rundown. What's going on this Saturday? Return to John Jones, obviously, big deal.
John Jones, Cyril Gane, should massive fight. Two heavyweights, two of the most dynamic heavyweights in the entire sport. Both of them can do pretty much anything. Yeah, like a lot of heavyweights
striking,
are just
submission. Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons I really like John Jones in this fight, because the heavyweights that Cyril Gane has beaten have been the like. Just boxing like don't get the knock the fuck out guy. Like,
yeah.
Like, he beat Derek Lewis and Tai Tuivasa, who I love both of those guys. But other than like just getting cracked in the face, like, you don't have to worry too much about either of those.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's literally one punch that could knock you up, but those guys also tire quick. Like, with Francis Ngannou, that was a kind of a different story because he had that power, but with more of a dynamic game. And Cyril Gane actually did a lot fucking better than I thought he would versus Francis Ngannou. But same thing, Francis Ngannou isn't John Jones. I wish Francis Ngannou would come back just to fight John Jones after beating Cyril Gane.
He's on to like boxing and just like he's not on the UFC anymore.
He wants to fight Tyson Fury.
He does. Oh. He also wants to fight Deontay Wilder. Well, Deontay Wilder wants to fight him, which would be the scariest matchup of two people in like anything. Like those
imagine
are like the two scariest.
They just meet two haymakers and there's just a fucking nuclear bomb that goes
and
off.
I think they want boxing as well. Because I think Deontay Wilder said like do like one each, and God, who was just like, dude, like if I can take you to the ground, like I'm just like
yeah,
I'm
that's
gonna marry
yeah, it's
which
more
is
fair.
Completely true. Like yep. I wouldn't give a shit about the UFC version, but 3 years in the waiting, John Jones returns. I mean, there is Octagon rust could be a thing. I mean, 3 years. Yeah. I know it's John Jones. It's the greatest of all time. 3 years is three fucking
years. That's a fact.
Years.
He's legit the greatest of all time UFC fighter.
He's right there in the fucking mix, man.
I don't even
know if I've ever seen this guy fight.
Dude, it's
fucking... I've heard all these stories.
Like Dana White, like Joe Rogan would say he's the greatest of all time.
Wow.
Well, like that's like quotes from
pound for pound, Joe Rogan thinks Mighty Mouse was the greatest UFC fighter, but he was fighting at like 130, but he was like knocking dudes out like he was a heavyweight.
I mean, and he was amazing.
Yeah, but then you go to heavyweight where it's like that like no holds bar, fucking biggest guys, strongest guys, baddest fucking motherfuckers ever, and then you look at John Jones's track record of who he beats, like even even if he never fought anyone else besides Daniel Cormier, I'd like almost put him up in contention with one of the best fighters ever, because I consider Daniel Cormier one of the best fighters ever from technicality standpoints to like loving the game to just like he fucking loves wrestling, fighting. He's like a Olympic like everything about
John Jones has held the light heavyweight belt for like two generations of like UFC fighters. Like he beat up all of like
the old
idols
guys
when he was
to get
young,
him out.
And then when he was like their age and like an older guy, he kicked the shit out of all the younger guys too. Like like it's impressive
and
stuff.
And that's what I mean. Like fucking Rampage, fucking
The list.
DC,
I mean,
Shogun Hua.
John Jones, Gustafson 1 is like the greatest UFC fight of all
time. I forgot
about
that
fight's
fight.
Fucking amazing.
You might have to watch some YouTube highlights.
Dude, watch Gustafson, John Jones 1. Yeah. And then you do not have to watch the second one. Jones just kicked the shit out of him. Gustafson was kind
and
of washed.
Gustafson, he's a fucking great fighter, too. Like that fight was fucking amazing.
Has John Jones ever lost?
No.
No.
He has a loss on a technicality.
A DQ from elbows, but like.
And I watched it live. When I say this guy was the ref fucked John Jones for this. This guy was catching. So what you can't. The reason why he got DQ'd in UFC. Yeah, elbow is obviously one of the hardest points of your body. You cannot go from a 12
straight
up
down.
And down, and you can't go to a 6. If you come in from a side on a guy's head and throw some sort of an angle, you're fine. John Jones was doing this the entire time, side hit, just randomly comes down once on the top, hits one more side, guy goes, nope, DQ, illegal hit, fight's over. And this guy is getting elbows consistently to the head. It should have been called, like the fight was over. And they got him DQ'd off that, so I would say I don't even consider that a loss.
Fair enough.
He was winning. It's widely considered not like a true like it's.
It's not like a Sean O'Malley
like I the was ones hurt. There, yeah. But like it's like no one really considers it like.
It wasn't like he was losing and then got DQ'd. He was about to win and then they were like, no, you
like
have
Sterling
a loss.
Like, when he lost to Jan, like he was getting his ass kicked and then Jan kneed him in the face an idiot.
Correct.
Like that was totally kind of like, dude, like like that was completely different. This was like he was well on his way to victory. And then that just
so
happened.
We're feeling good. Showtime told me bet
I
the
think
house
John
on John Jones.
No, I didn't say bet the house.
Bet your life.
Well, bet literally your mortgage. Go pull up more money. Pull out a fucking loan from
there. How do
you
feel about that?
I love it. I love it. The lines, I think they got them at like 170. So like
minus
170. So like bet the fucking. I mean, that's probably the best odds John Jones has had in fucking.
Ever.
Yeah.
Probably
like,
ever.
Because like a lot of those fights, he was probably like minus like 500, 600.
I mean, yeah, like even probably more. Like
yeah.
It's crazy how good he is. His just ability is crazy, and his fighting style, same thing. It's not like
he can do it
orthodox.
All.
Yeah. He'll like literally like spinning back fist you to like Muay Thai knee you to fucking like.
Oh, and
then, like
the old games, if you hit like playing the like the buttons for John Jones did straight up different things than like every other fucking like character in the game. Like the one that would be like. A head kick or something, like he'd like spin and do like a fun, like it was fucking crazy,
yeah,
shit,
like,
man.
Yeah.
Like it
is
was
he
like,
doing this shit,
yeah. And then it, like he's absolutely incredible. Can't wait to see him back.
Yeah, that's
is this
that's
for a
exciting.
Belt or anything?
Heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
Oh, straight off the bat,
right back into it.
His belt,
vacated by Francis Ngannou.
So when Francis Ngannou beat Ciryl Gane, got the belt. I'm pretty sure there was an interim belt at the time, or no? Oh no, Francis Ngannou was defending it.
Correct.
Yeah, he was defending for a while because he took it off of
No, he didn't defend it, and they took it from him, I believe. I'm going to look that up for a second.
Wasn't Francis Ngannou the heavyweight champion
He
before?
Was,
yeah.
But then they brought him down. There's been a fight for it, I thought, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So, yeah, this is for the championship, heavyweight championship.
That adds a lot to it.
It's
as well.
Yeah, it's everything, especially that guy.
Like his first fight back, it's like, first fight back, and I can get that belt
immediately. Yeah, no, well, Ciryl Gane has the interim title in theory.
Okay.
He beat Derek Lewis for it.
That's what it was.
Do we have any other good fights on this card? Or
Valentina Shevchenko returns as well, and also another dominant champion, like probably the second greatest of all time behind Amanda Nunes for the women's division.
Okay.
She's coming off the first fight that I actually thought she might have lost. She did win, but it was like she usually kicks the fucking shit out of people. Like, it's usually convincing. Like you could have easily argued that, like, the other girl won. But she did win the final two rounds, which, like, means a lot in a championship fight. It's championship rounds. But it was a great one. This one, I think she comes back and dominates because the person she's fighting is not as good as the last person she's fighting. I forget her name.
Doesn't matter.
I think it's Grasso, this one.
She stays nameless.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Any other notables? Any of the New England cartel? No.
Naz isn't here, but Cody Garbrandt undercard could be his last fight if he gets his ass kicked again.
Wait, is Adam not a Cody fan?
He hates Cody Garbrandt.
He lost a bet.
There's
on
a lot.
Long
that's,
time ago.
That's on. Yeah, that's on like 9 different episodes. Yeah. You can. That's archive.
Yeah,
he does have a long-standing.
I'm gonna have to go back and yeah. I need to hit up Scary Barry, our resident. Historian of the Steel and Naz podcast to know what the beef between him and Cody Garbrandt is.
Yeah, no, there's a few good ones. I mean, that's like, those are the big name guys, but there are ones like Bo Nickel's fighting. He's probably just going to destroy the guy he's fighting. I think he's like minus like 900 or something. There's a guy, his name's like Matheus Gamrot. He usually does sick fights. Like, he's kind of like Justin Gaethje was before Gaethje was fighting for, like, actual titles and shit. Like,
just banging.
Yeah, like, Gaethje won, like, fight of the year, like, 3 times before he was big on, like, undercards and stuff.
Oh, yeah, Dustin Poirier and Gaethje, like, those two were fucking scrappers. That division's crazy.
The card should be awesome. It should be a sick card.
George Proto's house?
Yes.
Proto! Wait,
Proto's the biggest John Jones guy on the planet, so he's been waiting for this forever.
Oh, I want to be there.
Yeah,
I want to be there fresh off a Lights O Lang Wing so he can shove that in his
face.
Big
fight too. Weekend.
Yeah,
big
it's an expensive
George
pay-per-view
Proto
weekend.
Is on record as Lights O Lang is a fraud, and
And you let that guy wrong. Coach you? You're a fucking fraud for supporting that.
He's an advocator for One-Eyed Wolf versus Lights O Lang. I don't know where the One-Eyed Wolf has been. I think maybe he's moved on to bigger things.
Have you not seen?
I've seen him on Power Slap. Yeah, he's doing. I just want him back in Rough and Rowdy real quick, though.
I want him back in King's Combat. Yeah, wherever. That was a fucking beast.
Wherever we can get him.
If you have
him. One-Eyed Wolf. Woo! No. Woo! That was a terrible
I didn't know what you were going for. Then when he did it, I was like, oh, that was a wolf noise, dude.
I think you just went, ooh.
Yeah.
Where are you, One-Eyed Wolf? Come out of the fucking woods.
Have you ever seen a wolf?
No.
Do you know what kind of animal a wolf is?
Are you getting a wolf tattoo?
You know what kind of species a wolf is?
A dog.
No, a dog is a wolf. Trick question. I didn't know that. What else we got this week? Yeah, like we said, we got March Madness coming up. You guys have any standout picks for who you think is going to take it all this year?
Get ready. We'll say big episode next week. Big episode next week.
I'm gonna see what we got here.
See, wait, didn't we do like a preemptive?
Give me Michigan.
We picked the champions last week. Once the bracket comes out, same thing. Steel and Naz, we're gonna have a March Madness bracket. Get your picks in. We're gonna do a fucking bracket for that. So everyone's gonna be doing their picks once it gets a little bit closer and bracket gets released. But dude, with my team, I picked Purdue last week. They just lost. An upset the other day.
Yeah.
To the 17 seed. To the point I'm like, that was kind of my team. I think it was Indiana. I think I might take Indiana for the upset. If they're taking down Purdue like that in a game where it like kind of doesn't matter, almost does.
When it comes down to it, man. Yeah. It's March Madness, man. It can't be the best time of the year. If a team's dominated all year, like...
That means nothing.
Don't believe in them.
That means
don't
nothing. When there's five guys on a court, anything can happen.
Great time in Steel and Naz history in 2020 when we just had got going and they canceled March Madness for COVID. You remember Anton that day? He was dying.
I miss hearing him talk Counter-Strike.
That was the day that Anton had to.
Yeah, they had to cancel sports. I'm like, why'd they cancel it again? I'm like, they canceled every fucking sport.
They canceled everything.
That was the first domino that fell.
And he had to pick different ways that he was going to make some money. Ping pong was one of them. Counter-Strike was another.
Ping pong. Now he's an
NFT guy.
Yeah. Are you Benner at all?
I dabble
every now and then. What's your favorite sport to gamble on?
March Madness is a big one.
Yeah, just like you kind of go for like big games and stuff, like more like Super Bowl bets. Magic, what about you? You never bet before?
I'm looking to get into this one. Betting becomes legal in mass. I'm gonna collect all those free $200.
Have you started? Because it literally opens this week. So if you don't have it set up, you're not gonna get that money that you're talking about.
Okay.
We can do it tonight.
So I gotta get on that. Yeah. Everyone else should too.
I also haven't signed up. Yeah, sign up for every single fucking sports betting thing before it becomes legal in mass. Because you'll literally get like $1,000 in free play. Which if you fucking then we'll sit down. We'll have an episode where we start Magic with a gambling website legally. And then we'll go through.
We could do that this week.
We'll even set one up today and then maybe do some content on this weekend of how I bet UFC or whatever.
I like that. But I'd like to throw my first $200 on Jon Jones.
Do it up.
Maybe a thousand more. Maybe 5,000.
I don't know if it's legal before this weekend, but we might be able to do it away. We could find a way.
See what happens.
So now, since we're in the middle of the episode, we'll go right into the Scary Barry interview. Enjoy that. Happy to finally have him on the pod. Been a longtime fan. We've chilled with him a couple times.
Plenty of times.
Fought in Kings of Combat. Chilled with him at Rough and Rowdy. Great day.
Yeah, just check it out. We kind of talk about the fight's coming up. He's a big fan of Bobby Lights Out Lang, so... Let's dive right into it before this weekend.
Enjoy.
Coming up. Scary Bear. Right now.
That should do it. Yeah, let's try to be like, we still need to lead into the interview. Like somebody
said. I forgot, I was going to wrap up.
That's all. Like, we just got to like shut out the sponsors and shit. And we're done. Yeah.
Fuck them.
No, we don't got to shout them out. That's like all we got to do. Just be like that. That was fucking Scary Barry. Hell of an episode. Big weekend of fights. Shout out to fucking all the fucking things. So we shout out.
Seaport Social. Patrick J. Foley Law Offices.
He wants to come on before April 1st to promote his fundraiser for the marathon. So say that to him.
Perfect.
Okay. And
Laser focus.
Laser focus. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Scary Barry. What an interview. Let's Guy's go. The fucking champ. He's fucking hungry for it. He's ready to go.
Getting that belt.
Getting that belt. Magic's going to give him the jacket if he wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't a shake on that, but I mean.
I saw a virtual shake. Yeah, you got two witnesses.
Yeah, that's my guy Scary Barry gets the belt, he can have the fucking jacket because God knows I won't deserve it.
But I just want to give a shout out to you guys. Thanks for listening and supporting us always. Shout out to Hedgebetter and Justin for everything he does here. Get down to Seaport Social in the Seaport. Going to be opening up this summer. Going to have the outdoor patio. Place is going to actually have a St. Patrick's Day party where they're going to do a seltzer war. So if you have time to go check out Seaport Social in the meantime on the day before St. Patrick's Day itself.
Happy Dad's going to be there, I think.
Happy Dad's going to be there. Truly's going to be there. I want Team Happy Dad. Maybe some pirate water. You never know. Shout out Patrick J. Foley in the law offices of Patrick J. Foley, who's also having a fundraiser coming up on
April 1st.
April 1st at J.J. Foley's on East Berkeley Street, right in the South End.
We'll be there.
Yep.
I'll actually be at a wedding in Naples.
I will be there.
The other still net. I've been there before to his previous events. Yeah, Me and Jimmy have gone a few times. The mayor, Quincy, everyone's showing up. It's a great event. He's running the marathon. He always does it for a good cause. I'm pretty sure he does it for Children's Boston Hospital. So go support him. He's always supported us. And great episode
Slight
today,
Edge
guys.
Fitness and Performance.
Oh, Slight Edge Get Fitness and Performance. Go down and see Craig Kelly. If you're trying to cut down on those pounds before summertime, there's 3 months left. You better be fucking focused. I got this guy in the gym every single day. Planks, pushups, but I'm trying. If you need a little extra motivation, make sure to check out Craig Kelly at slightedgefitness.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Yep.
Peace.